Hi, this is Winners Chapel International, New York. Thank you for downloading our podcast. We hope this inspires you, builds your faith, and motivates you. Please make sure you subscribe to get new messages every week. Enjoy the message.
Amen. Please be seated in His presence. I welcome you all tonight, everyone in house and online, to this great night. And I thank God for bringing us to the month of September. Hallelujah. This month of September shall be a month to remember for you. It shall be September to remember in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Our focus for this month is godliness is profitable unto all things. I love everything about godliness. When you have everything about godliness, you have everything about God. Because God is a holy God, is a tri-holy God. Everything about God is holy. Praise God. In heaven, heaven declares His holiness, His righteousness. In heaven, that's what the angels do. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Our God is holy. So if you truly want to know God, the character of God, the nature of God is holiness, is righteousness. So if you truly want to be like God and you want to get the best of God, this is it. I mean, it doesn't matter what we have been talking about since the year began. I tell you, this is the best month to get the best of God. Is it healing you want? It's packaging righteousness. Is it prosperity you want? It's packaging righteousness. Is it business exploit you want? It's packaging righteousness. So get set for an encounter of a lifetime this month in the name of Jesus Christ. Godliness is profitable unto all things. That's the prophetic focus, and the scriptural reference is 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. Look at this scripture before we even began. 2 Corinthians 9:10. Now he that ministered seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. The fruits of your righteousness. September is a fruit-bearing month. Fruitfulness, number 9, connotes fruitfulness. But God is saying this month is a month of righteousness. And this scripture is saying God is going to increase the fruits of your righteousness, which means this month, as you increase in bearing righteous fruit, you will increase in delivery of every form of fruits in your life in the name of Jesus. That is why in the name of Jesus, as you increase in the fruit of righteousness this month, everything will be delivered to you. Fruitfulness will be delivered to you. Business breakthrough will be delivered to you. Prosperity will be delivered to you. Signs and wonders, healing, health, and wholeness will be delivered to you. In the mighty name of Jesus. No wonder the wise man in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34 says, righteousness exalts a nation. Righteousness never pulls down. Righteousness always lifts up, always bring up. So get set this month, you will go up. You will go higher in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, this month, our teaching line for Wednesday service is captioned, putting up a fight against the forces of ungodliness. Putting up a fight against the forces of ungodliness. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11 and 12, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Ungodliness is a force that destroys. Ungodliness is a force that blocks access into the best of God. Satan always blocks the access of believers with forces of ungodliness. But it takes a fight to overcome all the forces of ungodliness. Righteousness is not that easy. Why? Because Satan is always contending believers' righteousness. So that's why it takes a fight to be righteous. You don't just watch it. It is not do nothing and get something. You have to always constantly do something in order to be righteous. Now, godliness guarantees the best of adventure here on earth and eternity in the hereafter. Therefore, it is worth whatever it takes. Like I just said before, everything you want from God is packaged in godliness. But it's not just limited to things on earth. It also guarantees eternity. That's why everything you can do to live a righteous life, it's worth it. In Isaiah chapter 51, verse 1 to 3, it says, "Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. Look unto Abraham your father, and unto Sarah that bare you. For I called him alone, and I blessed him and increased him." Look at that. "Ye that seek after righteousness." Look at Abraham. Abraham, a righteous man. "And I called him, and I blessed him and increased him." I decree this month your greatness will increase in the name of Jesus Christ. Look at this scripture again. Isaiah chapter 42, verse 22 to 24. He said, "But this is the people robbed and spoiled. They are all of them snared in holes, and they are hid in prison houses. They are for a prey, and none delivered, for a spoil, and none shall restore. Who among you will give ear to this? Who will hearken for the time to come? Who gave Jacob for a spoil, and Israel to the robbers? Did not the Lord, he against whom we have sinned? For they will not walk in his ways, neither were they obedient unto his law." So they found themselves in that predicament because they didn't walk in the ways of God. Anyone that will not walk in righteousness will be snared in prison holes. Anyone that will not walk in righteousness will be hid in prison houses. But that shall not be you. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Godliness guarantees the best of adventure here on the earth. And eternally, it also guarantees eternity thereafter. If you look at the word of Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 to 11, he said, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" So, which means it takes being righteous to inherit the kingdom of God. "Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, and ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and of the Spirit of our God." Amen. I decree in the name of Jesus for everyone under the sound of my voice tonight, every old nature shall be crucified this month, beginning from this night, in the name of Jesus Christ. Putting up a fight against the forces of ungodliness. Now, let's draw from the teaching of Christ on prayer. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 to 13, Jesus said, "After this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Say, holy be thy name. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. For thy is the kingdom and the power and thy glory forever." Amen. Now, from this prayer of Jesus, the way he taught the disciples, we can draw this from it, that Jesus taught us to pray as follows. Number one, forgive us our trespasses in verse 12. So, before one can walk in righteousness, sins must be forgiven. That is why every time a believer notices anything, go back to God and ask for mercy. Go back to God and ask for forgiveness. Because Satan can use that against you. If you keep it, you know you have sinned, you have done something wrong. That is number one way you can fight the devil. Because it's an accuser. No matter what you do, if your sins are not forgiven, you cannot overcome in any battle. So go back to God, ask for forgiveness. Now, before you engage in a fight against the forces of unrighteousness, you must be sin free. So ask for forgiveness. Ask for forgiveness. Now, in that same prayer, Jesus said, "Lead us not into temptation." Matthew chapter 6, verse 13. "Lead us not into temptation." Most forces of unrighteousness are very subtle. Very subtle. They are just little temptation. Satan will not, if Satan comes as Satan, nobody will fall for him. Imagine you just see a huge giant and he's coming, "Oh, now go and fornicate." You say, no, this is the devil. But he will just come like a very fine girl, like, you know, you can even be a sister in the church and say, "Oh, bros, let's just go for lunch and you can sleep in my house tonight." And it's just subtle way like that. Praise the Lord. That's why we must constantly pray every day, lead me not into temptation. It's a prayer, and nobody can outgrow that prayer, no matter how strong you are. Temptation does not expect the anointing. You just have to do it right. Now, Jesus also said, deliver us from evil. Matthew chapter 6, verse 13. Deliver us from evil. So it's a prayer a believer must pray every day. Lord, today deliver me from every form of evil. My eyes will not see evil today. I will not be a partaker of any evil today. In the mighty name of Jesus. So Jesus taught us to pray a prayer that is a fight against the forces of unrighteousness. And number two, we must continue to pray not to fall into temptation. We must continue to pray not to fall into temptation. If you still continue with the prayer of Jesus Christ, he prayed the same thing. Matthew 6, 9 to 10, 12 to 13. After this manner, therefore, pray ye our Father which is in heaven. And if you go down to verse 13, and lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil, for thy is thy kingdom. Temptations are common. They are everywhere. Like I said, they are very subtle. So we have to pray, Lord, today I will not fall into any temptation. I will not fall into any deceit. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 41, Jesus said, watch and pray. We must be very, very sensitive. We must watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Especially the temptation of not advancing the kingdom. The temptation of not reaching out to lost souls. The temptation of not praying for the kingdom. Because of the way this country is, we walk almost all the time. One might be tempted and not do the spiritual exercises. The same way everyone tries to remember to do physical exercises, we must never forget spiritual exercises. Because that is the way Satan leads us into temptation. By the time you miss covenant or prayer like three consecutive times, you can tell what your spiritual life will be. And you don't have any backup. It's not like you are doing anything yourself. It's very dangerous. God's servant shared a testimony of a brother years back. He missed Sunday service like three or four times. And he saw him. He called his name. He said, you are back to this. He said, no. And people started blaming God's servant. Because somebody didn't come to church, I would just say, he has backslidden. He has not. Now, maybe he has something to do. He said, you are backslidden. He said, yes. They just got to know that the guy started smoking. Just few Sundays that I didn't fellowship. It's very, very risky to stay out of God. That is why we must continue to pray. Continue to pray not to fall into temptation. Temptation itself is not sinful, but falling into it is what is sinful. Because everyone will be tempted. Abraham was tempted, go and kill your son Isaac. Joseph was tempted. Everyone was tempted, but falling into it is what is sinful. That is why we must continue to pray. Lord, do not let me fall into temptation. Number three point we also need to know tonight is that we must be committed to prayer and fasting so as to break the hold of all satanic bandages. Unrighteousness puts one into bondage. That is why we must continue to pray. We must continue to fast and to pray. Look at what Isaiah taught us about fasting and prayer in Isaiah chapter 58, verse 6 to 8. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free. I decree in the name of Jesus, for everyone under the sound of my voice that is under the bondage of sin, I decree, on this first day of spiritual week of emphasis, that yoke is broken. That yoke is destroyed. In the name of Jesus Christ, anyone that is already thinking of committing sin, anyone that is already falling for temptation, I decree in the name of Jesus, you are loosed, you are free, you are delivered in the name of Jesus. So we engage the force of prayer and fasting. When you figure out that your spiritual life is going down, engage the weapon of prayer and fasting. Engage the weapon of prayer and fasting. In Romans chapter 8, verse 15, the Bible says, ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So we have not received the spirit of bondage. So if we are under bondage, then it must be the spirit of the devil. And it comes by the forces of ungodliness. But we can overcome these forces by prayer and by fasting. You remember the encounter they brought this child to Jesus, to the disciples of Jesus, and Jesus had gone somewhere. And when he returned and he saw the father ran to him. Sir, help me. I brought my son to your disciples and they couldn't do nothing. And Jesus said, oh, ye of little faith. Then he went ahead and said, how be it? Which means, even if you had faith, if you are not praying and fasting, your faith is not going to work. So he said, how be it? This kind goeth forth except by prayer and fasting. So there are certain things in our life that we must engage the force of prayer and fasting. Even if you are not a pastor, even if you are not, you are a businessman, your business, there are forces going against your business too. You have to engage the force of prayer and fasting. There was a testimony in Canaan land. This young guy was a copper and he was serving with this company. And he was a winner. So the business was not working. This man was already depressed and they've done so many things. He was almost downsizing the company. Then this man said, sir, can I introduce you to what we do in our church? He said, what is it? He said, well, we do pray and fast for things like this. Would you allow me to coordinate that? He said, why not? Everybody has tried what they can do. I mean, if that is what is going to work, I mean, we're going to do it. Because people don't want to lose their job, so they have to do it. So he called everybody. This young man has a solution. We got to pray and fast. And to cut the long story short, that's what they did. And everything turned around. And that man became a director. Young guy became a director in that company. By the time he was leaving, they didn't want him to leave. The company was completely transformed just by probably 3 days of prayer and fasting, which means there was a force, satanic force, that was sitting on the destiny of that company that is not making it to thrive. And the power of prayer and fasting knocked it off. Did you remember the story of this commission when the church was not growing? And Papa said, is this how church will be growing? By the time I'm 100 years old, the church is just 1,000. He said, no, we must do something. He called his staff. And they were praying, and the Holy Ghost took him up. He said, come, let me show you something. He took him outside, and he saw a layer of darkness that was covering the destiny of the church. And he just meditated on John chapter 1, and the Holy Spirit told him what to do. He started rebuking in the name of Jesus. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness cannot comprehend. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. And the darkness began to roll like mats. Anybody slept on mats before? Oh, that means you used to pee on the bed. Shout hallelujah. You know, it started rolling and rolling. Some of our American children don't know maths. Well, congratulations to you. Praise the Lord. And now, somebody now joined the church after then that said what he used to see is the white garment people entering that place. That's why he was not going to that church, that he doesn't like white garment church. Meanwhile, even Papa himself was not wearing white as at that time. So where did he see white garment? Satan has painted the church with the force of unrighteousness. That is why I know in the name of Jesus, these 3 days, every form of unrighteousness that is limiting your destiny, that is putting you under bondage, shall be broken in the name of Jesus. Number 4, we must put up a fight of faith against every unwanted habit. We must put up a fight of faith against every unwanted habit. There are certain habits that are ungodly. There are certain habits that are unchristian-like. And these are forces of ungodliness that Satan has placed believers under. So we must not watch it. God's servant said, whatever you don't want, you don't watch it. Whatever you don't resist is permitted to remain. Whatever you don't confront, you can't conquer. So you don't watch it. You notice certain habits in your life. You have to confront it. Don't just say, well, that is me. That is my life. But is limiting your destiny in Christ. No, that is not your life. Your life is better than that. You are better than that. Don't watch your life go down. You have to fight against it. Remember when Papa wanted to marry? I don't know why I'm bringing about Papa and Papa and Papa. Well, that's my father, and the same spirit is flowing. Praise the Lord. He said when he wanted to marry, Satan said, well, you have counseled people about righteousness and godliness. I will see how you're going to be holy, and you will not fornicate with this woman. He said, in the name of Jesus, I'm not going to do it. Now, if I do it, God strike me with leprosy. That's a vow. That's a fight. So you don't watch it. It's not something, oh, Satan, no, please, oh, don't trouble me. I'm not troubling you. No, Satan doesn't understand that. It's a fight, and you must fight it. It's a force of faith. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. It says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou hast also called and hast professed a good fight before many witnesses. You remember how Joseph fought his own. He didn't just say, stay there and say, oh, Potiphar's wife, or oh, Gamadan, please, please, don't do it. He ran. Praise God. So that's what a force of fight, a fight of faith represents in the realm of the spirit. You have to be violent and fight. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16 said, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. God's servant said, any faith that makes God absolutely responsible for the outcome of your need is an irresponsible faith. So you are just, oh, God, I believe you. Do you believe in yourself? You have to believe in yourself. You have to do what you need to do. You don't watch it. You don't stay where people are smoking and you say, well, they are just my friends. You don't say where people are fornicating and you are sharing home roommates. You are a roommate and your roommate always bring a man friend all the time. Very soon, when he's coming, according to Bishop Abioye, he will bring one for you. He said, this one, I got two today. You just help with one. You have to run. That's how to exercise your faith. Shout hallelujah. Number five, we must also understand as we begin to round up that righteousness positions us for all-round prosperity. That's what I said when I began. If you want to enjoy the best of God, you must be righteous. He positions us for all-round prosperity. I remember when we talk about prosperity, we are not just talking about money. Your business will prosper. Your soul will prosper. Your health will prosper. Your marriage will prosper. Everything will prosper. Anyone that is righteous is already a prosperous man. In 3 John verse 2, he said, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. We must understand that our prosperity in the kingdom is a function of our spiritual prosperity. And our spiritual prosperity is connected to being righteous. Proverbs 28:13. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. Look at that. That is, he that lives in unrighteousness shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. God is a merciful God. God is not going to hit you and pull you down and destroy you when you go to him. Unlike the way we think, oh, that when we confess our sin, God is going to look down. No, God doesn't look down on anyone. What God doesn't want is you continue to live in sin. When you fall into sin one way or the other, run back to God. When you fall into sin, that's not the time to run away from church. That's the time to run to church and run to God. I remember in one of the churches I pastored years back, this lady fell into error with a man and it led to pregnancy. She was at first very ashamed. But later she said, Pastor, I want you to just pray for me, for God to forgive me and to have mercy on me. And I told her, well, people already knew. They knew you are not married. So when they see pregnancy, people would definitely talk about it. I said, well, this is what I can do for you. I will bring you before the congregation. I said, this is our beloved sister. She fell into error. She has asked God for forgiveness, and God has forgiven her. Now, any of you, if you now continue to backbite and whatever, the sin is already transferred to you. Whosoever God has forgiven. I said, Pastor, I want that. And I did it like that for her. Look at her sister. She genuinely, and her life was transformed. Praise the Lord. Her life was transformed. I decree in the name of Jesus, somebody's life will be transformed. It says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 to 9, it said, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, God is faithful and God is just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. I decree the name of Jesus Christ. This season, the blood of Jesus will wash away all your sins. Every force of ungodliness, unrighteousness that is limiting your destiny shall be crushed. In the mighty name of Jesus. Remember, you have to take step. You have to run to Jesus. You have to run to the Savior. And he's the only one that can save you. He has a glorious plan for you this month. But ungodliness will hinder it. But as you return to Jesus tonight, every force of ungodliness will be completely destroyed. In the mighty name of Jesus. I want you to get set. God has great packages for us in this month of September. is a month that God is going to increase the fruit of our righteousness. It's a month that God is going to launch every one of us into a new phase. However, we must do it right. We must return to God. I want you to get set. These 3 days, we never leave you the same. Tonight, we are just introducing ourselves. It's just the tip of an iceberg. Tomorrow, we'll build on it. Friday, we'll build on it. And all throughout this month, by the time you are done this month, your life will be a fire for the Lord. And every stubble, everything that is defiling will be very far away from you in the mighty name of Jesus. Is somebody ready to run to God tonight? Please rise with me. Rise with me tonight. God has not condemned you. God can never condemn you. Just like that lady ran to Jesus and she was not ashamed. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. She was not ashamed of herself to return back to her Savior. Someone under the sound of my voice, maybe you have been hiding. Satan has dealt with you. You are falling into error. And now you are ashamed. You don't need to be ashamed. All you need to do is to run to Jesus. And once he forgives you, he has forgiven you. He has forgiven and forgotten about it. Therefore, I want to give you an opportunity tonight. You want to run to Jesus. You want to begin anew. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things becomes new. Therefore, in the name of Jesus Christ, I want to encourage you tonight to return to him. When you return to him, he will restore back your dignity. I want to pray for you tonight. You're under the sound of my voice. You want to return to Jesus. I'd like you to bow your head wherever you are tonight. Or you want to rededicate your life to God. Or you remember one sin that has been troubling you, putting you under bandage. Run to Jesus tonight. And he will forgive you. And he will deliver you. Say this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I come to you tonight. I know I have sinned and come short of your glory. Forgive me all of my sins. Wash me with your blood that you shed for me on the cross of Calvary. I confess all of them to you. Now, in the next 20 seconds, talk to God about that sin. In the comfort of your house, talk to God about that sin. Ask God to forgive you. Ask him to cleanse you. In Jesus' name. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for everyone who ran to you tonight. Lord, by your blood who shed on the cross of Calvary, forgive them all of their sins. In the name of Jesus, remember you said whoever comes to you will not cast out. Jesus, by the power of the blood, wash away their sins. Give them a new beginning. Write their names in the book of life. Give them power to continually overcome sins. Thank you, mighty Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed.
Thank you for listening to Winners Chapel International New York's podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and share the link with your friends and family. Visit us online at www.winnerschapelny.org and fellowship with us online on our YouTube channel, Winners Chapel International New York. Have a blessed week. God loves you. See you next time.